The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
Yes, we are your hosts of the morning show.
I'm Lippo.
And I am Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
I'm doing just swell.
He's swell. Are you swelling?
I'm swollen.
You're swollen. Where at?
Moving right along.
Oh. Well, you don't want to let the people know. Maybe you have some kind of injury that...
Save it for the video podcast.
All right. Are we going to do that?
I'd like to do something. It's just a big to-do. Green screen, lights, cameras, editing, the whole shebang.
Would it
maybe
be something?
Maybe later on this year we'll start that.
If you had room to do it, if room wasn't an issue...
Yeah, if room wasn't an issue where everything would...
You would just keep it set up?
Maybe, yeah.
Would you?
I probably would. Like, you know, just depends.
That's some space taken up for just one show. You'd think you almost want to do other shows.
Well, it's not a massive amount of space, I guess, but it's just the fact that stuff's got to stay up, or when I need it, it's got to come back down, and, you know. I just haven't had time to figure it out even, but, yeah. Yeah,
I understand.
So... We'll see what happens with that, though. I'd like to do something, especially if it's something short to start, but...
Like we mean short in the time we do it?
Yeah, the length of time for
10 minutes?
Well, yeah.
Half an hour?
At the very longest, 10 minutes.
Oh, at the longest, yeah.
I'm thinking even a couple minutes or something, depending on what it is, or you know what I mean?
You would want just the talking Brevity. Head thing.
I don't know, yeah. Well, what else would there be? I mean, we could do stuff that comes up and... Well, we could, yeah, but it just gets to be too time-consuming doing all that. And
we need some
kind of crew. The more that we do, the more people you need.
That's a rhyme. You need a crew for the more you do.
If we could get funded for it, I'm all for it.
Well, you know, if it gets popular on YouTube...
What we need to do is some kind of pilot.
Right, well, we need
if
to
we
do something.
Pilot, maybe we can get a crowdfunding thing.
We could do that. To get the capital
idea.
To get going. But yeah. we need to do, you know, a good 25 to 30 shows before we could develop an audience on YouTube. Because that's how we're going to get paid, is through YouTube.
Well, that's one way, sure. But the other thing, the crowdfunding thing, you don't necessarily need that. But we'd have to have a good idea that people would be interested in. And then we can put up a campaign.
Yeah, so it would start us off. It wouldn't be an ongoing thing that we would be getting paid. The only way we'd continue to get paid is through YouTube.
Sure. I mean, either it's something that we get funded to do like a long-term thing, or funded to get going, one or the other kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't
Which
see.
Which is a lot easier to get funded just to get going. So
for sure. Let's do it!
In the news, new AC/DC album. I guess it's been pretty difficult to make without Malcolm. And I thought that they said that they would not be doing that. Didn't they say they weren't going to do anything without Malcolm, or they weren't going to continue? Well, that was a rumor, right? I guess, for the most part. But
I think that was the rumor. And I think that they are contractually obligated
to do something.
I think so.
I wonder if it's just the one album that they're contractually obligated to do right now. But they are keeping it in the family because Stevie Young is filling in, who is Malcolm's nephew.
Yeah.
He actually played guitar on the album. And I guess it worked out really good, except for the fact that this whole thing has been hanging over everybody's heads while they're doing it. So that's kind of the downfall of the whole thing. You know what I mean?
But it could end up
resulting
in a really awesome album.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be an awesome album anyway. And when you really think about it, what does it matter if there's a rhythm guitarist anyway on anything? do we really need rhythm guitarists?
Well,
why can't the lead player just play the rhythm too?
He can.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
no, I'm not saying anything bad. There's a lot of guys that are into playing rhythm guitar. That's all they aspire to be.
Yes, yeah. That's the word. I would have to say that Malcolm is one of those guys who pretty much defined rock rhythm guitar.
Mm-hmm.
In his own style. Like, you know, there was guys before him, Jimmy Page and Eric Clapton and whatever, you know, there was a certain thing that kind of reminds him. Did we talk about the Dick Wagner thing?
What about
the blues and the rock thing? I forget who I was talking to about that. But
You were talking to me about that, yes.
Dick Wagner said he didn't play the blues. He was more of a rock guitarist. And I thought...
So he was defining rock, one over the other, actually.
Yeah, and I had to shake my head for saying, what is rock guitar compared to blues guitar?
And especially from that time, he was, you know what I mean? He started playing and everything. I mean, he was probably primarily playing blues, but I guess there was that...
Eric Clapton, Jimmy Page.
The start of rock and roll, too, I mean.
Yeah, for sure. There must have been something out there.
It got termed that eventually.
Yeah, Ray Davies is one of those guys who's also a rhythm guitar creator, I'd have to say. Did I say Ray? It's Dave Davies. Dave Davies. Yeah, he's the guy. But the Kinks are refuting a new BBC Radio 2 documentary that once again alleges that the long debunked myth that Jimmy Page played on their 64 hit, 1964, You Really Got Me.
I thought that was a Van Halen song.
Good one. BBC tells lies about Dave Davies and the Kinks in their documentary, Dave Davies wrote in an all caps message on Facebook, urging fans to tweet the facts at the show's producers, who is Kelly Redman and host Danny Baker. I, Dave Davies, invented the distorted guitar sound and played the solo on You Really Got Me, and Ray Davies played rhythm guitar. So there we go. Ray Davies played rhythm on...
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da. Isn't that something? That's awesome. So no, it was not Jimmy Page. But did you ever hear that rumor?
I don't know if I did or not.
Okay.
I probably have and forgot all about it. Paul Di'Anno, the former Iron Maiden singer, is releasing a live DVD, apparently, in October. And that would be pretty cool, called The Beast Arises.
What's his name?
Paul Di'Anno.
No, he went in after Bruce Dickinson quit.
Before.
He
was the first singer for Iron Maiden.
But then Bruce left and another guy came in, right?
No idea whatever happened after that. Is that what happened?
I don't even know.
Never really followed them later on, or that much of Bruce Dickinson either.
Okay. I believe that is what happened.
And after that whole teleprompter thing, I don't care anymore. his scrap with, what's his name, Halford. Judas Priest's new album is out, and I think we talked about that in the news at some point a little bit. Prior to it actually coming out, Redeemer of Souls, and it's pretty cool, man. I've been digging it.
You've been rocking it out, have you?
Yeah. And then there's the whole thing about Slash receiving a Guitar Legend Award. Guns N' Roses and Velvet Revolver legend Slash will be honored as the first, and this is even worse, the first recipient of the Guitar Legend Award at the inaugural AP Music Awards in Cleveland, Ohio on July 21st.
Now, you think that Slash is what he is, he's not considered a legend in your mind, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know that he's a legend, you know what I mean? Like, when you hear that phrase, guitar legend, I don't really think of Slash, you know what I mean?
Would you think that Eric Clapton's a guitar legend?
Yeah, I would probably think that Eric Clapton is a guitar legend. I would think that Jeff Beck is definitely a guitar legend. Hendrix is a guitar legend. Jimmy Page is a guitar legend.
Jimi Hendrix and Stevie Ray Vaughan.
And Stevie Ray Vaughan, yeah, sure, a guitar legend.
Is dying helping you be a legend?
Even Alvin Lee.
Alvin Lee.
Considered a guitar legend.
10 years
long-time guitar player. Kind of a, you know, especially for the time, a notable... The guy from Mountain, Leslie West. I think he's a legend.
See, I think...
In fact, the song, Don't Call Me Legend, is really cool. Yeah.
Speaking of legend, don't call him that, Big JD.
But I think that Leslie West is definitely
a
guitar legend.
He doesn't want you to call him a legend.
Well, he is. Hear that, Leslie? He listens to the show.
Of course he does. Naturally. Iggy Pop and Tommy Lee, Motley Crue drummer.
What are they doing?
They're trying to help out some 41 frontman, Derek Whibley.
What's the matter with him?
They're trying to help him stay sober. And
okay.
Years of heavy drinking caught up with Whibley earlier this year when his liver and kidneys collapsed, leaving him hospitalized for a month. I think we talked about these guys when Iggy did a tune with these guys. That was their last like big hit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember me talking about that when we were talking about Iggy?
No. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't remember much.
Now I'm sober. I don't get calls from certain people that I used to, the drinking
friends. Isn't this our first show?
Now I'm the bum out to get them. Who wants to invite the sober guy to the party? You know who has always been incredibly supportive? Iggy Pop. Mm-hmm. So he gives him credit for helping him straighten himself out and get off the juice.
Well, that's good. I can't see Tommy Lee straightening anybody out, though.
I think he's sober, too.
Good for him. And today's show,
as promised in last week's show,
is
on grunge.
Wow. Okay.
Do you have a definition for grunge there?
I can call one up really fast.
Usually you have like some kind of speed dial.
Grunge, sometimes referred to as the Seattle sound, is a subgenre of alternative rock that emerged during the mid-1980s in the American state of Washington, particularly in Seattle. And the early grunge movement revolved around Seattle's independent record label Sub Pop, but by the early 1990s, its popularity had spread with grunge acts in California and other parts of the U.S., building strong followings and signing major record deals.
Right. So if you were from Seattle at that point, and you were a rock band, and you were even a little bit good, and you had originals, you were going to get some kind of airplay, it seemed like. Because there was a bunch of junk that came out of Seattle, I remember.
Yeah, I guess. Just because it was the new thing.
They say, it's a subgenre of alternative music. Because also, at the same time, what was going on was, bands like The Cure and The Smiths and other non-rock and non-punk, kind especially. Kind of
alternative pop, almost.
Right, you know? So you're saying that, what did you say that killed metal? Big hair metal.
Didn't I say grunge killed big hair metal?
And that was it?
I don't know. That hadn't, I think so.
And what role did punk rock play in as far as coexisting with metal, do you think?
Punk rock?
Yeah.
Well,
like the Sum 41 kind of stuff, which is punk rock.
I guess because it was heavy, it was, you know, kind of they did coexist because they didn't kill heavy metal, so I think that kind of stuff coexisted. Grunge was very different. I don't think punk was, and punk was around, you know, either there's some new punk or whatever, but grunge was something new altogether, really.
You don't think grunge grew out of punk bands? A lot of those guys were in punk bands.
I think it was another leaf on that tree, I guess.
Another leaf on that tree.
But still very different, more so than, you know, from punk to new punk. I mean, it wasn't the same as new punk either. You know, it was its a whole new thing, really. But the funny thing is, too, though, with grunge, you know, like you mentioned, so many bands would get signed and all that kind of thing. But how many really stood the test of time?
Not many.
As far as grunge, there was just a small handful.
Sure.
Which we'll probably hear them all on the show today.
I think the big ones. Yeah, of course. And it's good that that happened, because those bands got a chance to actually get recognized, get signed, whereas they might not normally have. The attention got brought to the city. So,
and as Lippo says, inspired by hardcore punk and heavy metal, grunge is generally characterized by heavily distorted electric guitars, contrasting song dynamics, growling vocals, and apathetic or angst-filled lyrics, which probably more comes from the punk side.
Right. It's all about woe is me. I grew up in the suburbs, and I can't understand my parents and my underparents. My underpants don't stand me.
Let's play some music.
We have Smashing Pumpkins. This is a tune from the No Alternative CD. It's called Glynnis, And this is the Smashing Pumpkins.
Thank you.
And Stardog Champion from Mother Love Bone.
How did you get turned on to Mother Love Bone?
Buddy of mine, Terry Howe, turned me on to Mother Love Bone.
Oh, I remember Terry.
Do you?
Yeah.
Terry Howe?
Terry Howe.
Or are you talking about Terry Willems?
No, of course not. I know Terry Willems.
You know Terry Howe, yeah?
Like from way back in the way back days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
He was a musician of some kind?
Not really. No, he sang for Split Beaver, though.
Split Beaver.
Yeah. And we played quite a bit, too. Jam nights, mostly.
Oh, is that right?
Or that's all it was. It was always jam night. Yeah, we couldn't do a real gig or anything.
What's up with that?
It was just a little side project.
Okay. I get you.
Yeah.
Split Beaver. Days.
Nobody would have us as a real band.
And, of course, Mother Love Bone.
Mother Love Bone with guys that went into Pearl Jam.
Right.
And, of course, Andrew Wood. Frontman for Mother Love Bone, who committed suicide.
Yeah. Well, did he commit suicide?
At some point back in late 80s, I guess.
Yep. It would be late 80s.
88, 89, 90.
At that point in his life, he lived with Chris Cornell.
Right. Who went on to...
I think he was in the in Soundgarden when they were living together in the early, early days.
Mm-hmm.
There was some... pretty crazy sounds coming out of Seattle in those days. Soundgarden was, I would find them experimental sounding. It was cacophony and noise.
Yeah, kind of. A little bit of that. Some down tuning, right? They were pretty heavy.
Heavy. C sharp guys for sure. What was the guitarist?
Ty something or other?
Kim Thayil.
Thayil, yeah, okay. T-H-A-I-L. Ty-L.
He was a Tyler. Right. And they just got back together. They did a tour last year, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Was that last year?
Yeah, yeah.
They got it.
Put out an album. CD.
They did a best of, there was like two or three songs that were added on. Like they did some new music.
Right.
And stuff that had yet to be released. So, yeah. So Andrew lived with Chris Cornell and then he committed suicide. So then Chris got together with the dudes from his band, mm-hmm. from Mother Love Bone, mm-hmm. and they made the album Temple of the Dog. Are we playing some Temple of the Dog?
Oh, that was, Pearl Jam members who were in Mother Love Bone. Pearl Jam and what's his name, singer from Pearl Jam too, Eddie Vedder sang on
Eddie
one of
Vedder
the songs
was
on
asked
there.
To come in and do some vocals on it, and he ended up singing
one song or something.
Yeah, Hunger Strike.
Yeah,
of course. And then obviously Chris Cornell went back to his band, but the dudes from Mother Love Bone, who had lost their singer, needed a singer, and this Eddie Vedder comes in and knocks it out of the park, and he says, "Hey, why don't we make a band of our own?"
There you go.
And that's what they did. They got another drummer, though, who ended up quitting the band after because he couldn't handle Eddie Vedder, apparently.
Hmm.
They didn't get along, but apparently the rest of the dudes are obviously still there.
Last thing Vedder did was that ukulele album, wasn't it? Ukulele CD thing?
I heard something. That rings a bell, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was all that good, really. I didn't really think so. Didn't care for that much.
You didn't care for what? The songs? Or
yeah, songs, I guess. I don't know.
Gotta have the songs. That's what Dick Wagner said. If you don't have the songs, you ain't gonna get nothing.
Yeah, it didn't really go anywhere, I don't think.
I don't think it went anywhere either, no.
Could have. If he had the right songs.
Yeah.
Because he was the guy. You know what I mean? Like, Eddie Vedder.
It'd be like...
I don't know that I ever really cared for him that much, but I mean, he was a big-time guy. So you put out the right thing when you're a big-time guy and...
Bam.
You can stay big time.
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't stay big time. But Pearl Jam got back together, too. Wasn't it just like not that long ago or something?
Yeah.
Did something?
They're touring.
Are they touring now?
I believe they're on tour.
Everything right free? Free concerts? They were the ones that started the whole...
Ticketmaster thing, yeah.
Yeah, ticket prices are too high and they're gouging people with their fees and whatnot, right?
Right.
So everything should be free.
Yeah, they were saying that only once they got freaking crazy rich.
Yeah.
But even Metallica, they got freaking crazy rich too, and they were bitching and complaining about people.
There's always something
music.
To bitch and complain about, I guess. I
when mean, you're rich,
the
I mean,
music business altogether. You know, there's the whole downloading thing, killing music, and that's a whole other thing. That's another show.
That's another show. Let's make
free
sure we do
downloading music.
That's gonna
pirating.
That's going to be what show? That's going to be next week's show, buddy.
Is it? Okay.
Oh yeah, for sure. If we come up with an idea, bam! It's next week's show. Pirating.
All right, you got another song lined up. Show me.
Show me, speaking of Chris Cornell, this is another song off of the No Alternative soundtrack. Did you watch the movie No Alternative? Do you remember that? That was with Charlie Sexton.
Sheehan?
No, Charlie Sexton. Yeah, okay. And there was a couple other actors in there that might have went on to do something else. But it was an album that featured all Seattle bands. And it took place in Seattle, right at the peak of grunge-dom.
Is the film good?
It wasn't bad.
Yeah, it rings a bell, but I might have even seen it. Who knows?
For what it wasn't bad. It really fit the music that was playing. It was like these young kids, they have angst, and they're not really happy with the establishment, and yet there's also a love story in there as
wasn't
well.
Wasn't a Dazed and Confused movie like that?
No, something Dazed and Confused time was a dope movie.
Was it? Okay.
Oh, yeah, it was like Fast
Times. I was long out of dope when that came out, probably, anyway. And there was a part two to it, wasn't there, too?
Probably.
Dazed and Confused 2?
Yeah, and that had epic classic rock
or
soundtrack.
Two Dazed and Confused. That would be a good title.
There you go.
But anyway.
For our new video podcast?
I don't know. What is that going to be? What is it even going to be about? Do we know? It's going to be about dope?
Dope it is.
Smoke dope on the show and...
Well, that's what Jonas's buddy does, that's how he makes a living. Sits at his bench and talks about smoking weed.
Oh, yeah? What do you mean makes his living? How does he make his living doing that? Where does he get the money?
YouTube.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. He gets thousands and thousands of hits, and the ads just pays for his life.
Really?
Yes.
All right, we're going to look into this while the next song's playing.
This is Show Me from the No Alternative CD by Soundgarden.
On Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
From the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
The wonderful Taylor Kramer, our ID
person. Would she be willing to make fresh ones all the time?
Oh, I'd imagine she would.
Let's keep it fresh.
Yeah. It's too much work.
Oh, it's too much work. I had to meet her in a car and record
her. We'll get her to do something for the video podcast, perhaps, though.
Absolutely.
She'll have to be on video, maybe. You know, like the kind of thing, like, didn't they have, I want to say, like, later on the Bob Barker thing or whatever, they'd show the guy doing the announcing.
Yeah, and they did that.
Here's the host of the show, and he's, like, in a booth, a studio with a mic and the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know
exactly. I can't remember, really. Older-looking guy, almost looked like... the guy from Carson.
Ed McMahon.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all look the same. They do, seriously.
Come on down. You're the next guy. You could probably.
Price is Right definitely had the dude also. You could see the announcer guy.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Oh, the Price is Right. Bob Barker.
Price is Right, right?
No.
At some point, he did that, though. They showed him.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But they would show the guy, yeah.
On a game show, which is kind of crazy.
I want to even say that at some point, when they hired some particular guy, which I want to say was somebody from a TV show. In fact, I think it's the guy from, he was the King of Queens, his brother or whoever that one of the other guys is, but he got hired to do
Kevin
Kimmel.
James.
Didn't he do, no, not Kevin James, but somebody else on there. Didn't he get hired to do Kimmel to be the announcer or Jay Leno show or somebody? And they would actually, he'd be sitting there like next to the audience and everything. And they'd show him announce in the middle of the thing. I want to say he's the guy that does NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams.
I can believe
that.
You know
what I mean? Sure. Funny looking little guy?
Okay, like Conan's sidekick.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah.
Is he still Andy on? Something
yeah,
or other.
Andy
Richter.
Something. Yeah.
Something like that.
And then there's the announcer for David Letterman as well. Am I going to think his name? No. Redheaded gentleman.
Redheaded guy for David Letterman?
Yeah, yeah. He gets a bit, like, every couple weeks they do, they'll spend a minute on it.
Yeah, I can't think
of it. He usually freaks out. They pretend like he's psycho or something.
Yeah, I want to say, obviously I've seen him, but I can't recall. I haven't seen Letterman for a while. But anyway.
This is our show on Grunge, and we're talking about announcers. I love the rat holes we go down. That's what we should actually call the show. Music with Rat Holes.
Rat Hole Podcast. Video podcast.
Well, no, you don't want to have nothing but rat holes. But
why not? Is anybody else?
Does anybody else what?
Who just only has a rat hole and not the rest of their show?
Well, there would be no rest of the show.
I mean, we could be those people. We just go down the rat.
Okay, which rat hole are we going down first? And if we say the magic word, which comes up from the top.
Chicken comes down.
That is what the show is on.
And now some grunge at its finest. Them Bones, Alice in Chains. I like that.
Awesome
band. And I like the ending.
Jerry Cantrell was really the...
He can't?
Yes, he can.
He
can trell, and he can write songs, and he has a lot of those awesome harmonies in there are him. I always thought
that was... Yeah, he sounds a lot like... What's his name? Daly?
Lane? Staley?
Staley.
And he's done. He is expired. What was his name, I think you want to say.
Right, yeah. But the other guy sounds a lot like him.
The new guy?
Well, no, I mean...
Oh, Jerry Cantrell.
Cantrell sounds a lot like him. I always thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. Yep. If you a good example of their vocal stuff is really highlighted in the Unplugged... Nirvana. But Alice in Chains Unplugged.
He was a good guitar player. Different, too. He was a little bit, I would say, more unique than Slash.
Good answer.
You know?
I don't know. They're about around the same scale, I guess. I hate grading guitars.
Sort of maybe scale as far as, like, you know, just as players maybe or something, you know what I mean? But for something a little bit more different. And you know who else I'd put in that category as being different and better than probably both of them is the guy from Papa Roach. He's a cool guitar player.
Is that right?
Really heavy and really cool. I don't know. I like
Papa Roach. I know you're a big Papa Roach fan.
I am.
That's awesome.
Until they lost the drummer. and then things aren't the same for me. I like the drummer.
Right.
Who was actually married to Steven Tyler's daughter.
Come on.
Yeah. What's the other daughter? Not Liv, but I think...
Di.
Was it Liv?
Di.
I don't know. Maybe Liv Tyler. I can't remember now.
You think the drummer from Papa Roach was married to Liv Tyler?
He was married to one of his daughters.
One of his daughters, yeah. For sure.
I can't remember anything anymore.
How come?
All the dope.
All the dope that you were in the same room when it was being smoked.
Just kidding, folks. I don't smoke. It's just natural, natural memory loss here for me.
Well,
marijuana. I have no excuse for
marijuana
it.
Marijuana is natural, too.
Well, I guess. Maybe I should be smoking it, and I would remember everything.
I think...
It's all coming back to me now. Give me a shotgun. Elevator style.
Shotgun elevator. What's
it even called anymore? I don't know.
Shotgun, yeah.
Alrighty. Yeah, but when you're... Did you ever do that? When you're from the ground up?
Oh, you inhaled while on the way up and then hyperventilate.
Yeah, I'm losing air now, just thinking about it.
JD, wake up!
Whoa, he's passed out on the floor.
That kind of reminds me of the movie Beyond the Bridge.
It passes out?
Yeah, it passes
out. What's going
on? What's going on, yeah. That's what it reminds me of.
You starred in that.
I starred,
one of the stars.
I was one of the actors.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. I liked it.
Me too.
It was pretty neat.
I think I'm a
for pretty kind of a no budget thing.
Me and Barney Rubble were on the same acting level.
You and
Barney Rubble.
I don't think the girl's gonna like this, Fred. So we're talking about grunge on the show today.
Yes,
and everybody says grunge killed metal, or more so hair metal bands.
Well,
and,
what else?
And is that a good thing? Maybe even.
I think change would have came no matter what, right?
I think happens.
Things rise up, and then they end up plateauing, and then something
rise up to the shine.
Something fills that vacuum that is required for that climb to keep going. There's always got to be new music, right? So I think metal played out in a certain way. Now you say big hair? Is that what you said?
Yeah, hair bands, hair metal.
As opposed to small hair.
You know, the guys that put up their hair and look like chicks and stuff like that. You know, like, I don't know.
So that was more...
Or the guys that were more like pretty boys and stuff like
right,
that.
Right, I
even
think...
Poison and all that kind of stuff back then, you know.
Right. That was kind of...
Winger and Warrant and Cherry Pie and I don't know what.
I know what you're saying, absolutely. And...
It was probably a good thing that stuff got killed off.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think a lot of that stuff ended up becoming cookie cutter, like music is even today. There's certain music that's just cookie cutter, like the Nickelback thing. There was like a million bands after that that just had the same look and sound and whatever that is. I don't know what that is, but and some of that has even leaked into country. I find some of those same attributes of that Nickelback.
Yeah, and a lot of the new country they sound similar. A lot of the artists and. But some of that's pretty good too, man. That's some pretty rocky stuff. I kind of like it.
That's good.
The new country, you know?
Dig it. Crank it up loud.
I'd like to see more heavy blues like that.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
We're talking grunge, and I forget what got us into that...
hair metal thing?
You were talking about killing off what grunge killed off. Then what I'd like to know is what killed grunge.
What killed grunge? What did kill grunge? Did something new come along?
Not yet.
Okay. I don't think grunge was good enough to stand, you know, over time. Because, quite frankly... Nirvana? What really happened after Nevermind?
What really happened?
Yeah, I mean, they had maybe another song or two that was okay or whatever, you know? It almost seemed like Bleach came out after Nevermind because nobody really knew, you know what I mean? Like,
and there
the
Bleach
thing was pretty cool. I liked the first CD or whatever.
Yeah.
About a girl and all that stuff was pretty cool. But, I mean, afterwards, nothing... It fizzled and the guy killed himself, like...
Incesticide, awesome album, tons of great tunes on there. You could tell how he was progressing as a songwriter, and then In Utero, It was all really...
Yeah, that was all right, too, I guess. I don't know. It didn't have the impact, I don't think, that Nevermind had.
Well, how can it? It was kind of... It was like the thing. I guess,
but shouldn't bands be as good or better than that previous? You know what I mean?
They never are. It's like...
Well, it's that's like the everything. Thing. But a lot of rock bands and the metal bands are. They put out a good album, and they put out another good album. They put out another good album. Look at the bands that have been standing the test of time, and look at how their albums are. Yeah, it's full of cool tunes, man. Like, even let's look at, you know, and a lot of other things went wrong with these bands, too. Alice in Chains. They put out, the first album was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one, I think, was as good or better.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they put out a couple, that song here and there was okay on an EP or whatever. And you know what I mean? And then they break up, a guy kills himself, whatever. You know what I mean? What else was there? Who else? Soundgarden.
As far as you're talking about the grunge heavyweights here.
Yeah. Okay. I'm talking about the biggest bands. I wasn't like crazy into grunge, so I don't know a lot of the stuff probably. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Or the smaller things and stuff. And I don't know.
So you're just taking a look at it as far as...
Soundgarden didn't do too bad, but...
I'll say.
You know what I mean? But at some point, things changed as well.
Like what? What do you think? I think once I they...
Maybe,
they,
maybe
they,
it's what, the breakup and they weren't...
When they broke up, they were still...
They didn't put a lot of albums, did they? Wasn't it only a few things there that they actually put out?
No, I want to say have at least five studio albums.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I with can't the first couple the names, being, but... like I say, before, it was... wish I could even think of one of them right now, but it's been so long ago.
But these bands were not like the real heavyweights, the guys that stuck together for a long time, and the real, you know what I mean? I just don't find them like that. And I think that, to me, it just seems like that's the part of the whole short-lived thing, kind of, you know?
Right.
Some of the big heavyweights in metal and rock, and I mean, some of the guys have been together for so long, you know what I mean? And
still kicking it.
And keep putting out good stuff. I don't know.
Yep.
Do you think that maybe at some point the grunge guys thought, hey, we're doing this new thing and we're the new thing and we're taking over, and they tried to make the rest of it, like, you know, live up to what it was and couldn't, kind of thing? Whereas these other guys are just, we're just straight ahead rock and roll. We make good stuff. We do it the way we want to do it and it's cool. And that's it. You know what I mean?
So is that why Pearl Jam... kind of stood the test of time.
And Pearl Jam, too. What all did Pearl Jam do? I can't remember.
Now you're being silly.
No, I don't remember. You're obviously
not a fan of Pearl Jam.
I wasn't a big fan of Pearl Jam. But
I think that might be just your issue with the whole grunge. Pearl Jam, they're just continuously made awesome album after awesome album.
Yeah, but the first...
And they took it to the next
album,
level.
Or maybe the second one was really good. But then after that, I mean, it was like maybe a song, you know, kind of thing was really good, or a couple songs were really good. But not the whole thing, like... earlier stuff. Mother Love Bone. Everything really cool. That could have been some, but the same thing with them. Like,
they're done. Yeah,
killed himself.
Right. So I think that's a part and parcel of the whole, you're the new thing on the block. So we absorb all your first stuff because that's all we got. Yeah. Then they write another album and you're always going to compare that album to the first album.
You know what else I think too is, like, look at the early days of rock and stuff like that, way back where these guys would, a lot of them committed suicide or killed themselves somehow or whatever too. And it was a whole new era of special music. You know what I mean? Joplin and Bonham and not so new, you know what I mean? But these were the early big heavyweights and things like that or popular Hendrix, Doors. And the same thing happened later with grunge when it was all new. We could theorize like crazy, but we only have an hour.
Yes, we do. So we're going to play some more music.
Sure. And
this song here is the second song that Nirvana wrote that has the same title, which is verse, chorus, verse. Obviously, these are songs that were recorded and they never were really given a name. The first version, I forget, it did get its own name, but this is the song that actually has verse, chorus, verse. And it's kind of like the hidden track that is also on the No Alternative soundtrack CD. Verse, chorus, verse by Nirvana.
Cover you. you fool yourself, you will make him happy.
I like how they put that whistling in at the end.
They did not put any whistling at the end. I love that song.
Who did that?
I don't know. Did you hear about... did you hear the Britney Spears alien no auto-tune thing?
Huh? No.
No, it's kind of making its way around the internet today.
Is it grunge?
No, it's not. It would be music news.
No, I don't know anything about it. Britney Spears.
Supposedly some version of her doing a hit of hers without auto-tune on.
Oh, my God. Okay, I gotta check that out.
Yeah, you'll have to check it out. There's many stories floating out that she wasn't even really singing the song. She was just giving the guy in the booth some levels or something, but it's it isn't pretty, JD.
So next week, however, on the show is
music piracy.
Yeah.
See how these topics just keep coming, JD? I know you're hesitant at the beginning, saying this is gonna end somewhere, isn't it?
No, I never thought it would end, I guess.
But, okay.
But when you're wide open to a multitude of topics rather than only music. I mean, I enjoyed, you know.
Yeah, of course.
The multi-topic.
I know. Thing, and
but I enjoy this
too. Let's get the video podcast out then.
All right. We have to put our minds together though and think of something for that, because we want to do something that's
going to pay us through YouTube and I can get my early pension from Chrysler's.
I'm all for it, man. I'm all for it.
All right.
And I think we can do that.
For sure.
If some guy can sit on the bench and get high and do it.
Exactly.
Then certainly we can shoot heroin and do it.
We're not doing any heroin on the video podcast.
All right, so next week is Music Piracy, and we're going to leave everybody with some Temple of the Dog, Wooden Jesus.
I got wood.
On Big JD and Lipo in the Morning.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. See you next week.
Bye.
Be sure to join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.